Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are back once again at the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people in support 100, 1,000, 2,000, 1 million percent of the new African independence movement. My name is Brother Yera Amati, a.k.a. Prophecy. And as always, I am your host, and we will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the New African community as we discuss topics that are relevant to our struggle as we pursue land, independence, nationhood, and the creation of an economic system that benefits the whole and not just the ruling elite for the purpose of exploitation of the working class, which is also known as socialism, scientific socialism to be exact. But always, as always, we want to start out by putting some historical perspective on things. We want to shine the spotlight on a person, a place, an event or an organization that played a significant role in this struggle that we are engaged in today. And today we want to talk about the Bacon's Rebellion. Bacon's Rebellion, and more importantly, the significance, the ramifications of this rebellion. Now, the Bacon's Rebellion was a rebellion, an armed rebellion, in 1676 in Virginia. And it was a group of indentured servants, white, poor whites, which joined forces with enslaved Africans. Now, it was led by an individual by the name of Nathaniel Bacon. Now, interesting enough that Nathaniel Bacon was actually part of the ruling elite, but he was in conflict with the ruling elite, so he joined forces with the poor class, the poor whites and the enslaved African. Now, you have to understand, this is 1676. This is 100 years before the American Revolution, so Virginia, and this was in Virginia. So Virginia was under the control of England at the time. So it was a colony of England. And this is before slavery had really exploded in the Americas, because primarily the labor force were made up of poor white indentured servants who were forced to work for the ruling elite for a period of about 5 to 7 years, and then they were given their freedom. Now, during this time period, the contradiction between classes were exposed, and the poor whites were felt that they were being exploited and oppressed by the ruling elite. So they decided to rebel against this, and they joined forces with the enslaved Africans, because during that time period, enslaved Africans and poor whites had actually more in common than they did with the ruling elite. And of course, like I said, they elected Nathaniel Bacon to lead this rebellion. And for a minute, it looked like this rebellion was going to be successful, because they were able to completely take control of the capital. They burned it down, and things were looking bad for the colonial powers. Unfortunately for this rebellion, the leader of the rebellion passed away of a sickness, and when the leadership was no longer in place, the rebellion got disorganized, and they were able to be put down. But what's important about this particular event in history is what happened after. because the ruling elites recognized the danger of a union between poor whites and enslaved Africans. So what they decided to do is, number one, they got rid of poor whites as their labor force. They got rid of indentured servitude. And this led to the increase of the African slave trade in the Americas. The second thing that they did was they created a system that would divide poor whites and enslaved Africans. It created a three-tier system in which were the ruling elite. In the middle were the poor whites, and at the very bottom, at a subhuman level, not even considered to be human, were the enslaved African black people. And furthermore, they gave privilege to the whites and authority to the whites over the enslaved Africans. They created a slave code. This is when the slave code became into existence. A group of laws that oppressed African people. You know, a lot of ridiculous laws. You couldn't even look a white person in the eye. And the poor whites were used to enforce these slave codes. They were used to punish enslaved Africans. The poor whites were employed as overseers over the enslaved Africans. They were used as patrollers in the slave patrol, the slave catchers. And if you know our history, you understand this is the origins of the modern-day police department. It's this class of people, poor white. It created a situation where you had a class of people, poor white people, who identified with the ruling elite, even though the ruling elite, to some degree, still oppressed them and still exploited them. But more importantly, this class of poor whites now got much of its identity and defined itself based on this system of white supremacy. Their identity was connected with being superior to these enslaved Africans. What's really important about this is this relationship, this identity, in many ways still exists today. Because when you look at many of the hate groups, when you look at the Klan, the Nazis, the alt-rights, all of these groups, for the most part, they're made up of poor whites who identify with the system, who identify with white supremacy, with being superior to other races. So what we want to shine the spotlight on today, we want to expose the Bacon Rebellion and its ramification, and more importantly, how it sets up this interesting dynamic where you have poor white people who in reality are being oppressed by the same system that everyone else is, but yet they identify with this system. And they fight for this system. So that's what we want to shine the spotlight on today, the Bacon Rebellion of 1676, which leads us to the topic, because I don't know if you heard, recently we had an election, and a guy by the name of Donald Trump won, and he won largely because he appealed to this class of people, poor white people, who identify with this system of white supremacy. Now, understand, the ruling elite use this system of white supremacy, but the ruling elite understand that this system is full of bullcrap. They understand clearly that. They understand that white supremacy is used for economic exploitation of enslaved African, of poor people, of people, of non-white people all over the planet. That is how they are connected to the system of white supremacy. But these poor whites, the working class whites, they are connected. They are related to the system of white supremacy in a social way, because in many ways, this is how they get their social identity. And with the election of Donald Trump, even though he is a part of the ruling elite, he has been able to energize, to connect with this people, because recently it hasn't really been cool in the mainstream to be an outright white supremacist, to articulate the core values that these poor whites believe in and that they have connected their identity to. But with his election, this it seems to have energized this class of people. And you see the resurgence of many hate groups. You see the increase of hate crimes. You see people being more bold, and they feel now that they have someone in the White House that represents them. They feel empowered and encouraged, and you see them being bold, and you see them coming out. And understand clearly, make no mistakes, these people have been preparing for years and years, because they understood that eventually it's going to be a race war in America. Been training. They have been training their children. I go to gun shows. I go to survival type programs, and you see European people, you see white people there training their little children, and they're training their children to kill our children, because their propaganda is, oh, these crazy black folks are out of control, and we're going to have to deal with them. And I wanted to play a clip just to kind of set the mood of how, you know, the mentality of these white supremacists are, and how they have been energized, and how they really relate to Donald Trump. So this is actually a meeting right in Washington, D.C., close to the White House, with a hate group by the name of Alt-Right, and they're praising Trump. And, well, I'll just let you listen to the clip.
Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory! No one will honor us for losing gracefully. No one mourns the great crimes committed against us. For us, it is conquer or die. The mainstream media, or perhaps we should refer to them in the original German, Lügenpresse. To be white is to be a striver, a crusader, an explorer, and a conqueror. We build, we produce, we go upward. And we recognize the central lie of American race relations. We don't exploit other groups. We don't gain anything from their presence. They need us, and not the other way around. Yeah. Within the very blood in our veins, as children of the sun, lies the potential for greatness. That is the great struggle we are called to. We are not meant to live in shame and weakness and disgrace. We were not meant to beg for moral validation from some of the most despicable creatures to ever populate the planet. We were meant to overcome all of it, because that is natural and normal for us. The press has clearly decided to double down and wage war against the legitimacy of Trump and the continued existence of white America. But they are really opening up the door for us. America was, until this past generation, a white country designed for ourselves and our posterity. It is our creation. It is our inheritance. And it belongs to us.
So I just wanted to play that clip to kind of set the mood, the tone, and, you know, to hear from the monkey's mouth how these Europeans feel and how they're being bold. And I mean, understand, this is nothing new. They have been planning, they have been preparing, they have been training for decades, and they are upset because they feel that they are losing their power. And in a sense, they are, because I truly believe that the system of white supremacy is falling. It is on its way out, but it's not going to leave. It's not going to cease to exist without a fight, without a struggle. And in fact, if we're not careful, we don't understand exactly what's happening, then it will simply evolve into something else and we will continue to carry it on ourselves. But what we want to talk about today is, should we be preparing for race war? Better yet, should we already be prepared for a race war? Because I'm going to let you know straight out, they are. They have been training. They have been prepared. And they have been using propaganda like, well, niggas have been training for race war all their lives. They're killing each other. They're killing each other. But it's a whole different level of training when you have, like, some gangs fighting each other in the street than people who are going out getting precise military training and organizing themselves in a military front. So this is what we want to talk about today. Should we be preparing, or should we be prepared for a race war? And of course, I'm joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community, and I've talked way too long, so let me get my callers in. I have my brother Kakayi on the line. Let me get you up. Brother Kakayi, are you there?
Yes, I am. Free the land, brother.
Free the land. I am, I will. So what are your thoughts on the topic? I know you've been listening, brother.
Well, you know, it's evident that we are in a race war as we speak. There's no air in that, if you will, meaning that there's no misconceptions when you talk about what we've been going through for centuries in this country. The fact that this white supremacist mentioned that it's their prosperity, you know, lets you know that he knows the laws that they've put in place to maintain white supremacy in this country. And when we talk about white supremacy, we talk about that because too often our people get confused and are not able to stand behind the term racism. So we must understand that on a systematic scale, it's white supremacy. Just based on the Maryland Doctrine of Exclusion from 1638, where they say that no black person, their children or any descendant after them, can reap the benefits of white prosperity. That's become public policy in today's statutes and laws. We've been in a war for many centuries, and we have to recognize that in order for us to be successful, we can no longer accept the fact that these people are putting in our face that a race war is a bad thing and all that. We need to have our independence, and obviously when we strive for our own sovereign nation, our Republic of New Africa, as new Africans, naming ourselves, not Negro, not nigger, not African American, not black, all of these names they named us. When we recognize that we have to have our own self-determination where we name ourselves, we are new Africans. And as new Africans, we must begin to recognize that when we fight for independence, it's going to be a race war because of the simple fact that our enemy are them, period. They don't want us to make any gains in this system. They don't want us to become productive members of our own new society as new Africans. They want to curtail that progress by continually putting in our face that we need to vote. We need to try to change things within their system, because ultimately reform means that you maintain the system of oppression, but you try to make it comfortable for you to accept. And they change the laws as time goes on. We need to be prepared, and we need to understand that as a sidebar of us gaining our independence and our own sovereign nation, it will be a race war, because the people that are our enemies are those who are the elite ruling class, maintains capitalism, imperialism, maintains this empire. And so because of that, we got to recognize that we're already in a war. And because we're already in a war, we need to prepare ourselves. we need to be recognizing that they are preparing themselves. They know that ultimately we will wake up as in masses and begin to fight for our freedom and not continue to ask them for anything. So it's real complicated. It's real complex now because everything has evolved from the simple to the complex. We can go on how if we as black people did the things to these elite ruling class Europeans, the things that they're doing to us, if we did that to them, if we shut down, if we ran the police department and we shot down unarmed white people and we diverted funds from the educational system of white people and put it in our communities and our schools, if we did the things that they did to us throughout the past century, they would be fighting. So it's no wonder why our solution is revolution. And we need to recognize that we are no less than them. As a matter of fact, we are we are Homo sapiens. They are Neanderthals. They haven't developed completely into a real Homo sapien. They have thousands more of years more to develop into a real human being. That's why they go around the world pillaging, raping, killing, stealing, lying. This is because they're not a full Homo sapien. These folks here need to be dealt with accordingly. And you know, I can go on and on, my brother, but the bottom line is that the answer to your question is that we are in a race war. There's no doubt about that, and we need to begin to organize the ones who have weapons and train the ones who have and the ones who don't for an armed struggle. It's as simple as that. Free the land, brother.
Free the land. I am, I will, and thank you for those comments. Brother, I want to get to my sister. I haven't heard on the radio for a minute. Sister Ma'at, are you there? Ma'at.
Free the land.
I think I see you on the land. I am, I will. Glad to hear from you again on the radio, sister. So, yes. What do you think? Should we be preparing for a race war here in America? I'm gonna let you take it away. What are your thoughts?
Well, the reality is we've always been in a race war here in America. Africans living here in America. It's always been a race war. The time the Europeans set foot on these lands has always been a race war. So, we should already be prepared for that because the war is on every single level that we've experienced. Historically speaking, us being brought here against our will and going through the most inhumane and despicable things that you could possibly ever imagine in your mind has happened to us. And so from those physical things happening, you have spawned out the psychological, the mental, the spiritual, on every single level, we are at war. Up to this point, we've been at war. Chemically, mentally, psychologically, physically, we're in it. So in dealing in the reality, we should be preparing ourselves for that. And the only way to prepare ourselves from that is to divorce ourselves from that, which is the reason why we as new Africans are playing for our own nation. We don't need, we just listened to what you said that group had to say. Okay, we don't need to be. Okay, let's prove it. Your whole system is based upon us feeding it. It's always been based upon us feeding it. The whole European economic system of capitalism is based upon us, African people feeding it, people of color feeding it, making it what it is. So if we divorce ourselves and build our own, because we know how to uphold a whole nation and to make it work and to make it run, but we have to divorce ourselves from everything, even the way that we have been trained to think. So we need to be working now, re-educating ourselves in an African manner. a new African manner, which is scientific socialism, not the individualistic basis that capitalism upholds, but scientific socialism, where everything is a universal law and order working in family-oriented aspects. Scientific socialism, stepping all the way out of being an individual to being a part of a social system that works, where we build together, we grow together, we develop together, versus, and everybody benefits from it, versus those few at the top and everybody else suffers. It's enough resources here on the planet for everybody. And so we need to be working toward that. We have to be prepared for war. We're in it. We need to be preparing ourselves on every single level. Freedom.
I am, I will, well said, sister, and so glad to hear your perspective. I got to go to my sister, Ayodele. She's been on the line holding and stuff like that. Let me try to get you in there. Mama Ayo, you there? Ayodele, are you there?
Yes, brother, free the land.
Free the land. I am, I will. So if you've been listening, should we be prepared or preparing, already prepared for a race war here in America? Sister Mott, you made it clear that, you know, we've been in a race war from the beginning, from the conception of this country, really before this country was even conceived. Ever since the Europeans first stepped on the shore, really, ever since the European first stepped out of the cave, it's like we've been in a race war. So, what are your thoughts? Should we be preparing for a race war here in America?
And we are all our living examples of history, and you have gone through and you have spoken about who we are as a people and our historical reality here in America. I think that if you have not bought into the grand illusion of democracy, integration, you should be preparing. You should already be prepared. As a matter of fact, you should be prepared even on a survival level. The basics, water, just put yourself in a situation where perhaps a natural disaster occurs, as we saw in New Orleans, and reports have been coming back even 10 years later, that a lot of our people, a lot of Africans, new Africans, were used as shooting practice by the Europeans in New Orleans. They took that opportunity, that natural disaster, to kill new African people, men, women, and children. There are still some people missing today. I think that we who live in the various neighborhoods across this nation need to hold each other accountable and to begin to have a very serious conversation about why are we aggressing upon each other. That is a social phenomenon that has been orchestrated through television, all sorts of techniques, as the sister and brother said previously, our comrades. All things, food, clothing, shelter, water. We're trying to create a new mindset that we must be of service to the family, community, nation, and race. Because at the end of the day, if we don't have the men protecting women, children, and elders, it's going to be awfully, awfully bloody in the streets. It's going to be tragic. That basic things that we should be doing for one another inside of America, such as policing our neighborhoods, making sure they're safe for everyone, making sure that we don't see each other as enemies. We have an enemy, a clear enemy. It is called imperialism, capitalism, white supremacy, and racism, and all its various forms, because there are many forms. And if we are sitting and we're not constantly analyzing and using the skills within us to combat some of these techniques, we will fall victim of being slowly sucked into a system that means us no harm, that means us every harm, I should say, that means from the time we come out of our womb, those that can come, that aren't killed as we're being birthed into this world, until the time we die, we're under constant attack. So, yes, race war, I think that we should be re-educating our children into basic practices on how to store water, what types of things do you need in case the electricity goes off, what happens when your cell phone and all electricity, what are the other methods of communication, what happens when you need to escape from the house if there's a fire or there's an attack on the house. I think those are conversations. I think that more women and children, along with their mates, husbands, brothers, need to be going to the firing range. I think that everybody needs to just be on alert and be aware. Don't be in a situation where we are weak because we believe so much that this country is equal, there's equal rights, when we know there isn't, and you fall victim and become the next major Holocaust, other than the Ma'afa that we've already suffered. But I'm talking about real physical extermination, like gathering up, sending us places, and we're never seen again. I think that that's the clear and ever-present danger. So, yes, we should be preparing. Free the land, brother.
Free the land. I am, I will. Well said. And, you know, we're almost out of time, but I do want to mention this, because one of the biggest problems that we have is, see, America is an empire. America is a colonial state. It exists off of the oppression of other people. It exists, it thrives off of the exploitation of other people. But the problem with that is it pretends to be other than what it really is. In too many cases, New African people here in America, we have bought into this hype, this belief that we're in the great democracy, that everything is equal and everything is all wonderful. And unfortunately, maybe I should say fortunately, many of our people are getting a rude awakening over these last 5-10 years. And they're seeing the empire for what it really is. Not even completely, just a portion. But understanding this, in seeing this, I mean, it should be just common sense. Because, in fact, I mean, we have like over 500 years in this country alone of evidence of what these people have been trying to do to us. You have over 5,000 years if you read Chancellor Williams' book. So we should have been prepared to defend ourselves. Been prepared for a race war. Because as Ma'at said, we have always been in war. We have always been under attack. And with this country, white population staying at zero growth rate, and everyone else, brown and black, increasing. And they see that in a few years, they will be the minority. They are preparing for a race war, even if we're not, even if we're under the illusion that we live in this great equality, this great, you know, whatever you think America is, but it isn't. But they have been preparing. They have been training. They are ready. We have to get ready. If you are not prepared to defend your household, why not? There's no excuse for that. That means that you're not paying attention to what's been going on. That means that you're in some dream state and you don't want to acknowledge the concrete, objective reality that is right in front of our face. But we can't just be prepared to defend our families. Our whole communities have to be organized to be ready and prepared to defend our community. In reality, the whole entire black nation right here in America needs to be organized, needs to be unified, needs to be mobilized and prepared to defend itself. Because we understand clearly that as long as we exist in a situation where our economic system, social system, political systems, educational system, justice systems, all of the systems are controlled by individuals who have benefited from the exploitation of our people, then there's no way that we can concretely solve our problems as long as this relationship exists. So at some point, we're going to have to change this relationship. We're going to have to gain control over our own destiny. We're going to have to gain power. We're going to have to get land in which we control. We're going to have to gain our independence from this system of racism and white supremacy. We're going to have to govern ourselves. We're going to have to create an economic system that benefits the whole. We're going to have to do these things, brothers and sisters. But the reality is, they're not just going to let you do it. Anything really worth having is worth fighting for. So with that, brothers and sisters, we must organize, we must mobilize, we must prepare. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Join us next week as we will continue discussions that are relevant to the New African Independence Movement. My name is Brother Yayra, a.k.a. Prophecy. Free the land. I will see you again next week.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the right of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.